يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله مطفئ نوره ولو كره الكافرون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, if we were to look at events in the world today, it leaves us in no doubt whatsoever that Muslims and Islam have been made a target of special abuse and persecution. After the fall of communism, the Western world, led by America, have regarded and seen Islam and the Muslims to be the greatest threat in their dominance of world affairs and their hegemony over the world. In other words, Islam and Muslims are the greatest threat to their expansionist frenzy. It is against this background that they have made Islam and the Muslims a special target for abuse, persecution, and in fact, extermination. The facts are quite clear evidence. Let us briefly look at two examples. In Somalia, the United States or the Western powers have not invaded to help and feed the poor people of that land. In fact, such hypocrisy makes one's stomach turn upside down. The reason why they have invaded is to destabilize the neighboring Islamic government of Sudan, and they were getting worried and perturbed by the growing Islamic movement emerging from Somalia. This had to be stopped, this had to be prevented, otherwise the U.S. puppets in the region would have been effective. In Iraq, for example, when, although the President Saddam has no human rights record to be proud of, or is no angel, but yet whenever the United States wants to present a macho image to the world, or whenever a United States President wants to bolster his foreign popularity, then the Iraqi Muslims have been targeted and they are been killed. And yet it's surprising me that the target of the attack, Saddam or the elite, is never effective. It is always the innocent Muslims who are killed and massacred. And while they are so trigger happy when Muslims are concerned, they are surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, not only silent, but subtly and not so subtly, encouraging and helping in the destruction and whenever Muslims are targeted for abuse and persecution. In Palestine, for example, where the ruthless Israeli government and regime have completely disregarded all human rights, values and dignity. On one hand, deporting people from the land of birth, putting them in no man's land in a completely area which is completely frozen and cold. And on the other hand, a systematic method of repressing and annihilating and exterminating the Muslims of Palestine. And this has been going on for 40 years. And despite there being over 600 United Nations resolutions against Israel, not one did the UN or the United ever try to force Israel to comply with those resolutions. As has been done in Libya, as has been done in Iraq, as has been done in Somalia, and as has been done in Bosnia. Coincidentally, all countries where Muslims are involved. In Kashmir, where the oppression of the Indian regime has reached new heights, instead of castigating the Indian government for oppression, the United States threatens Pakistan to declare it a terrorist state. And the reason being because they are in a small way helping the Muslims of Kashmir. Instead of showing, or instead of going at the root of the problem where they are oppressing the Muslims, they do nothing. They threaten the Muslims of Pakistan to declare it a terrorist state because they are helping the Muslims. And then furthermore, we can give more examples. But maybe no more is this more pronounced than in Bosnia, where for over a year now, an unprecedented genocide has been carried out against the Muslims of that land. In fact, one wonders, has ever human right, be more severely attacked in the modern era the way it has been done in Bosnia. And here also, the United States and the Western world have been surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, completely inactive. And the reason why they have been inactive is, here again, because it is Muslims who are concerned. Therefore we find, firstly, an arms embargo has been implemented in that region. Whereas it is well known that the arms embargo is hurting no one. The Croatians and the Serbians had arms in the past, they have arms in the present. The arms embargo has been specifically implemented to harm the Muslims of Bosnia. They must not be able to arm themselves and prevent themselves from being killed and massacred by the Muslims. And then furthermore, the main reason why they have been made a target for genocide and killing is because the Western world cannot stand a Muslim state or an Islamic state in the heart of Europe. And they have been quite open in making mention of this. In the time of the 24th issue, a mention has been made of a Serbian official who made it very clear that the reason why we are fighting is we cannot stand a fundamentalist state in the heart of Europe. The article goes on to say in the time that Douglas Hawke, the British Minister of State, was sent by the British Prime Minister to go and tell the President of Bosnia, do not wait for any international force, there is no cavalry coming over the hill. The French president also goes with the same message to the Bosnian president. And the same, they don't need to go and tell the Bosnian president of it. It is quite clear and evident they are not going to help. But the reason why they go and pass on this message is that the Bosnian Muslims must be forced to accept a negotiated settlement in which they are completely displaced and there is no viable Muslim state in the heart of Europe. This is a clear thing. Then furthermore, we can take it out of further also. It has been said by the Western world and the media constantly propagating that democracy is epitomized by the Western media to be the ideal of the 90s. Yet, when the Muslims of Algeria overwhelmingly and democratically, they elect a Muslim leadership and they give it the go-ahead to implement Quran and the Sunnah as part of their state, then all of a sudden, democracy is no more now regarded as an ideal. It's stuck in the throat of the Western powers, and it is now regarded, and it is felt as subversive. One can continue to give an example of the nature. Then furthermore, we look at it further. The propaganda of the media is one of the most effective methods which is used by Western imperialism and by Western nations. We find audio, visual, and printed media against Islam is constantly on the increase. And all the time through the means of the media, the people of the Western world are constantly being reminded of the so-called impending dangers of fundamentalism. Recently we had the Newsweek, which had a discover story, hugely boldly printed, should the world be afraid of Islam? The Times, 2 weeks later, have a similar Dean article in a cover story. Should the world be afraid of Islam? And although fundamentalism is, if you look at it, something which is noble, in that it refers to someone who is committed to Islam, it has been made a dirty word in the Western media. And they are constantly warning people with regard to the impending dangers of fundamentalism. Yet, the same so-called media are completely silent. There is no screaming headlines when democracy is interfered with in Algeria, when thousands of Muslims are massacred in Burma, where there is a systematic extermination of Muslims in Palestine, and where there is a sustained repression in Kashmir. Do we find no screaming headlines? We get to come up with the answer. And second, no, there is no screaming headlines. In short, it is very clear from this there is a threat against Islam from all sides. And this is quite clear evidence. Wherever there is Islam and Muslim, subdue to bondage. Wherever there is kufr, strengthen them that they could also be part of the anti-Islamic alliance. Now, I do not want to make mention of going further, I can give much more examples. Very few things that we must take lessons and note of. Firstly, it is not surprising entirety, in its entirety. Because these things have been prophesied, the reason behind it and the solution of it has been prophesied to our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam centuries ago. Hazrat Sawban Rabi Allah narrates the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come when the nations of the world, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't make mention of a particular nation, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the nations of the world would gather around Muslims to harm and destroy them, the way people gather around a food on the table. So then the Sahaba were perturbed and disturbed and said, Ya Rasulullah, will we be little in number at that time that they will gather around us to destroy us? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, no. But antum yawma idhin kathir, on that day you will be dropped in abundance in as far as numbers is concerned. But you will be insignificant, kahuta is saying, the way the scum is on top of the flood. When flood waters come, the little foam and scum that comes on top of the flood, it has no power of its own. It is swept aside by the flood waters. Said our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will become so insignificant. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is the reason for us being so insignificant in the world? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, excessive love for the material world is best life of death. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prophesied that the ummah and that the nations of the world will gather around you to destroy you. And the reason and the solution also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned. Then secondly, for us to expect otherwise or to try to appease the American or the Western world is naive in the extreme. The Quran tells us, وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Yahud and the Nasara will never be pleased with you. You can never appease them until you follow their religion and they will obey. And we are not prepared to do that. So you will never be able to appease them. And it is naive to expect otherwise from them. Then secondly, the aims, the objectives, the goals of Islam are completely opposed to what they believe. Completely opposed to their aims, objectives and goals. So they are fulfilling the evil urges. They are fulfilling the evil agenda, acting as agents of shaitan in employing this sinister method and plot against Islam and Allah. It is for us to become so strong that we can withstand those pressures and those plots. After all, we look at the time of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Did not the people, did not the kuffar also employ such methods and sinister plots against Islam and Muslims? Did they not try and kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on more than one occasion? Did they not gather all the Arab clans to come and attack Medina during the Battle of the Clans? Did they not, in the time of the Battle of Uhud, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were fighting against the Kuffar, did they not try and come and harm the Muslim woman? They did all that. But that time the Muslims were strong enough to withstand their thoughts. And we have become corrupted, we have become weak, we cannot withstand those thoughts. So partly we are also to be blamed. We are also to be blamed. Therefore, our time is also coming to a close. I will give you a few concluding thoughts, my dear respected brothers. One of them is, we in this country are also part of the Ummah at large. We are also not immune to the global threat and the global onslaught against Islam and Muslims. We are also not immune to that. Especially, because of some sort of profile we have placed in certain sectors of the Muslim world. In Somalia or wherever there is a problem, the Muslims of South Africa have played some part. So we are not immune to this. What we really got to ask ourselves is this. Are we behaving in our day-to-day life as people who are under threat? Are we really behaving as people who are under threat? Are we in any way activating our energies? Are we in any way coming closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are supposed to do, bringing the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our side? Or are we continuing in our ways? We only need to go and look at the time of Fajr, how many Muslims come towards and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Are we still continuing our own ways as a matter of routine, being completely not worried and immune as if nothing will ever happen to us? Or we are we completely continuing our routine manner? Do not tell us to come closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not tell us not to go to sun setting. Let us spend our wealth extravagantly the way we wish to. We must answer this question. Are we really acting in our daily life
is part of the Ummah, we can understand. And secondly, I would like to leave you with this concluding thought. Our Ustad, Mufti Ahmad al-Rahman, Rahmatullah alayhi, always used to make mention that the Western world and the Kuffar are afraid of Islam. And we used to think when we were in class, can it be possible? When you look at the way evidently, and when you look at the thing, what have they got to be afraid of, especially when the Muslim lands are in this area? The Ummah is disunited, the Ummah is disjointed. The greatest threat the Ummah always had was to bring the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them when they are with impunity violating the laws of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? And he used to tell us this one. He said the kuffar in the Western world regards Islam as a sleeping lion. Someone who does not realize its potential. And now when we think of it, look at the situation today. Despite us, and maybe I might be wrong, but I think that as far as practical commitment to Islam is concerned, we are maybe perhaps at the lowest ever in the history of Islam. I think never ever has the Ummah been so practically uncommitted to Islam the way it is in the present day. Presently uncommitted to Islam, maybe in the history of Islam, maybe we never had the Ummah. I mean, we can see maybe 95 or maybe 99% of the people today do not perform the most fundamental tenets and the most basic and most important ritual and practice of Islam, namaz. Maybe we are, I can say, maybe I might be wrong, but I think that maybe we are at the lowest as far as practical commitment to Islam is concerned. Yes. In this stage, we are regarded as a threat by the Western world of the Kuffar. What will be the stage of the world if we were to become proper Muslims and practically committed to Islam? When at this stage we are threatened, if we were to really turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we really want to comply with the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take the glory of teaching them and example of the people, what will be the situation of the world? My dear Ishtar Rabbi, I did mention of speaking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I the topic of understanding and making amal. I would also just say one thing. We can either listen to this, become shocked and outraged and go back to our comfort zone. Or we can go back and ponder and think and reflect and then act as how Islam and the Quran tells us, وَاعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare yourself with all the power that you have at your disposal. مِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْرِ. With all the power and arm at your disposal, تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَكُمْ. That you could instill fear in the heart of your enemies and the enemies of Islam. We can either do one of the two things. We can either go back to our comfort zone, express rage and condemnation and shock over what is happening and go back to our comfort zone, or we can start doing something in whatever way we feel comfortable what we can do. Then that gives you another topic of understanding and making amal.